Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Since the beginning of this informational program, we have talked about how to start a small business, how to make it prosper and grow. During all of those years, we vaguely touched on succession planning for a small business. It came up as a small segment of families and business or in retirement planning. But no program ever focused specifically on succession planning. With this show, I would like to remedy that omission. Succession planning for family business owners is one of the most talked about areas of financial planning, but is often poorly executed. The reason for the disconnect? Many people fail to recognize that families and business are run very differently. Families generally take care of each other based on individual family members' needs, not by how successful each family member is, whereas owners or employees of a business are largely judged on successful results. These often opposing forces can give rise to many potential missteps in the transfer of ownership and control of a business to family members. The process can get even more complicated when you factor in the nuances of family relationships. It's one reason why so many family businesses ultimately fail in succeeding generations. Let's be clear about what I mean by succession planning. The term can have different meanings for different people, but it ultimately involves planning for the eventual transition of the control and ownership of a business. That transition can be due to the incapacity, death, or retirement of the business owner. Many small business owners tend to focus on retirement, but it's also crucial to have a plan that accounts for the death or incapacity of the business owner. These types of events are more likely to cause chaos in the business than the owner's retirement. As a result, succession planning should be seen as more of a continuity plan for the business and family wealth, rather than an endpoint for the owner at retirement. There are many different issues family business owners must consider when developing their succession plans. The goal that parents, children, and other key management may have for the business can sometimes be different and at times even conflict. For example, take the sale of a business. The owner may need to depend on the payments from the sale of their business for their retirement income and financial security once it has been transferred to their children. On the other hand, the children may want to purchase the business at a reduced price as compensation for a very low salary that they earned while they were previously working for their parents. Relationships between family members can be strained if conflicting needs or interests aren't handled or planned for properly. With me today to discuss succession planning is Frederick J. Schrager, an attorney at law. Fred earned his bachelor's degree from Lehigh University and is a graduate of Seton Hall Law School. After clerking for a judge and working for a family firm, he eventually went into practice for himself. During his career, Fred was an attorney for several municipalities. Now, semi-retired, he does mainly real estate law and commercial law as well as estate planning. One of the things that keeps Fred's pulse on the latest happenings in the legal profession is family gatherings. As the Schrager family's father was an attorney, as are his brothers, two of his sons, and two of his sons' wives. So welcome to Score Business Points, Fred. I hope I got everything right.
You certainly did, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on here. All right, let's get right down to the subject, succession planning. When it comes to succession planning, when should a small business owner begin the process?
The process of succession planning is one that most families, and you've limited the discussion to families. There's also the issue that we will discuss also about this, a partnership that is maybe two partners who are not families and what happens between them in succession planning. But let's discuss the succession planning between families. For example, a father has been running a business and brings in his sons to the business, and they continue to operate it successfully for many years. The father then ages, and as you said, it could be from desire to retire. He can see sickness, disability, and those kinds of things. How does the family plan for these eventualities? It's much easier to say, okay, when I decide as the father to retire, I will let my sons run the business. The father, as you said, needs maybe the income from the business. So they have to work out between the father and the sons how the business is transferred, what the price should be transferred, how the income is distributed, and the assets are distributed. It gets harder when you have more than one family member or one sibling who is involved in the business. If you have a father and one son running the business, it's much easier to resolve how it will be transferred. If you have two or three children in the business, it makes it more difficult. But these things have to be discussed, and the professional people that it has to be discussed with are generally the attorney, the accountant, the financial people, to understand the needs of the father and also the needs of the children who are going to take over the operation of the building, of the business.
In talking with business owners and with all the small businesses that I've been able to talk with, small business owners, most business owners perceive these succession plannings as a threat to their control. Many owners believe that they can and should remain in charge for as long as they're alive. Let me ask you a question. Is that a really bad decision?
Well, it depends. You know, every family is different, and every relationship is different. You have to understand also that if you're dealing with sons, you have spouses who have different interests. And all of this has to be taken into account by all the parties in a way that makes it mutually beneficial for everybody. The big question is, how do you value a business? And you're going to now say, okay, I want to retire and head to Florida. Who runs the business? If there's one son, that may be easy. If it's two or three children, it makes it harder. Who's the one that's going to be the president? Who's going to be the one who's going to run one part of the business? Who's going to be the one to run another part of the business? It's a very difficult and not easy situation to resolve. But it must be discussed by professionals and the family as to what they need. For me to say today specifics on each family is very difficult. Each family situation, as we all know, is different. All relationships are different. All relationships with spouses are different. And these things must be discussed. Most families don't discuss it way up front. It's almost not done until all of a sudden the senior family member who runs the business all of a sudden decides that maybe he's looking to retire in the next year or two, or maybe a sickness comes upon them. And then they start to think about it. So it's a very difficult situation to put right up front.
You heard my opening remarks. I talked about succession planning is actually more than just a plan for the owner's retirement. It should be other plans for other contingencies that may incapacitate the owner or possibly the demise of the owner. Can you kind of explain to the listeners why these contingencies are necessary and maybe how they should approach them?
It's generally, you know, I'm of the age at this stage of my life that if I was practicing law with partners that are in the family and I decided that I wanted to retire, that's one thing. But if I decided or didn't decide on my own or had a disability, who takes over the operation? How does the funds, the income, the clients, the manufacturing purposes, how are they handled by the sons in continuing the operation of the business? So it's not just something that's done automatically when something happens. You have to think about all of these contingencies over the years. And as the senior man, and I think that's what we're talking about, starts to think about moving on, these things have to be discussed, and they have to be discussed up front. You can't hide from them and say, whoops, we'll worry about it when something happens.
Let me ask you a question then with regards to, we're mainly talking, succession planning is, and the way we're talking about it is from one family member to another family member. What happens In let's say we're in a, like you say, in a legal practice, in a law firm, maybe that's not a good, it's the same, let's talk about another business because Unless, like in your family, everybody's a lawyer, but in most instances they're not. But let's talk about another business in which it's more of a retail operation, but there are co-owners, and there are their sons, or they're just two partners. Now, I've heard that the story's like, all right, it goes. He's going to pass away, or something's going to happen. But I don't want to work with the I don't want to work with the son, or I don't want to work the wife. He passed away. Are there contingencies to
for the, I think, as I said a few minutes ago, I think it's more difficult when, let's take an example of, as you say, a retail store, a engineering firm, where it's owned by two partners, A and B. They're not related to each other. They've been great friends for many, many years. They've been great partners. They know how the income is distributed, who gets what income, who doesn't get, who gets what. Who has what clients, who has what responsibilities in the business. But all of a sudden, one of the partners decides that it can be done in a cordial way, or in many situations, it starts to get a little bit nasty. One decides he doesn't want to work as hard. So what we do in those situations, before there is anything between them that is unhappy, you try to develop what we call a buy-sell agreement, much more so done when the parties are not family-related. Mm-hmm. So you prepare a buy-sell agreement that says that on the death, disability, retirement, whatever, that A will buy out B or B will buy out C. And you try to then set the terms and conditions of that buyout. For example, let's say they come up with an accounting, and experts come up and say the business is worth, let's just use $100,000. In today's world, that's not a lot of money. And they say, okay, if A drops out, or A passes away, or A decides he wants to retire, then B will pay to A the sum of $50,000 as to transfer A's interest to B. Mm-hmm. It becomes a binding agreement. The terms would be setting the amount that would be paid out. It would set the terms of the payout, whether you pay how much interest over what period of time. It can have you, we all hear of these agreements not to disclose things to the public in today's world. You can have a confidentiality agreement set forth in that agreement. Normally what we do in drafting, and we'll say, okay, the value of the business today is $100,000. And we say that value is binding on all parties, but the parties agree that every year, every 2 years, they will sit down with their professionals and say, okay, has the business changed value? Okay, it's now worth $200,000. So they then amend the agreement and say, okay, anything happens after this date, the number is $200,000, and the same formula can work or be redone. Mm-hmm. Agreements generally will say that if you don't change the amount already set forth is amount that becomes binding and continues to be binding. The $100,000 remains effective until a new amount is agreed upon, but we put in the agreement that the parties shall. We try to make it so that it's done and that when the parties are friendly and are agreeable, and it's always easy when people are working together. It gets difficult when all of a sudden things start to happen.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to being in the small business alone for just a regular small business, assuming that the small business owner, it's a family business, and he decides he's going to retire. Now, the question becomes for the small business owner, when will he or she be ready to give up control of that business? Because they've been running it for the entire life of the business so far. And assuming that the business is staying in the family, so when are they going to give up control? And when are they going to be ready to accept all the decisions made by their successor, even when they don't agree with them?
Well, that's the problem in all families, and we see it today in all kinds of issues between families. We know that generally, the senior partner, the patriarch of the family, wants to remain in the business as long as he can. He feels it's important. He doesn't want to become dependent upon others. This has been his life. Now, all of a sudden, his kids start to see him failing. They start to see him wanting to be away most of the winter or whatever. How do you then handle that? The biggest problem is that there's very little in some ways that you can put down in writing that makes it binding when it becomes family. Mm-hmm. It becomes for the family to sit down with their spouses, with their professional advisors, and see what's going to happen and when and how. There's no easy answer to that kind of thing. I had a client 1 year who had 3 sons in a business, and he was starting to think about retiring, and he's sitting there with me as the head of the business saying, well, I think when I retire that this one should do that, and that one should do this, and this one should do that, and that's how they should run the business. And I said to him, no, it can't work that way, because if you start dictating to your 3, 4, 5 siblings, and they all have spouses, who's going to do what? You're going to create animosity between them. You have to let them run the show when mm-hmm. they take it over. And that's the biggest problem in family succession. Who's going to run the show? And it's easy when there's only one child. It's very difficult when it's 2 or 3 or more. And you have businesses where there can be nephews and nieces. If it's a large enough business, how do you handle all of those things?
Right.
There's no book that I can say to you, go to this textbook, and there's 1,000 examples of 1,000 different situations, and your situation is number 422, and you fit right into it. It doesn't work that way. We'd like it to, but it doesn't.
Yes, all right. That's absolutely true. You know, in many of my discussions with small business owners, their retirement planning is mainly the value of their small business. Now, once they're ready to retire, the sale of the business, according to them, is going to bring in sufficient funds to allow them to live as they did while they owned the business. Now, I think this is a very poor decision, and I hope, and maybe you don't or you do, but I think it's a very poor decision on them. And what should the small business owner actually be doing?
Well, the word you use is interesting, because you said the sale of the business. When you're saying that to me, you're implying that I'll use the word father, the patriarch of the family, is saying, okay, I'm not going to leave the business to the 3 kids, the 2 kids, the whatever. Right. I'm going to sell it to a third-party stranger who's going to come to me. We're going to negotiate with my professionals a price and sell the business.
Yeah.
That is a different kind of succession of saying, okay, I'm walking away, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to retire, I want you because I want to be able to have a monthly income while I'm in retirement, and you guys are going to make this business continue to be successful. It's a different kind of succession mm-hmm. in doing that. You sell the business, and you have the assets. Yeah. I have the assets. I sold my business. I can do whatever I want. I can leave it to my children in my will. I can distribute it in any way I want to, as long as I feel financially secure during my retirement.
Yeah. Well, it was a poor choice of words on my part, because when I made this question up, I was thinking of a small business in which it wasn't a son, it was a daughter took over. The son didn't want the business, that the daughter took over the business, but the father wanted to sell the business to the daughter.
That's done a lot.
Yeah.
That's done a lot.
And that's what I mean, where they think it's, but they make think the value of the business is X, but when you actually look at the value of the business, it's Y. And X is not as much as Y.
Well, you have to understand, I have a business, and I have a daughter in the business with me, okay? And I decide I want to retire, and I say to my daughter, I'm willing to sell the business to you. And the daughter says, fine, I want to buy it. It makes it easy to have a sale, because then you don't have, if there's other siblings, then the other siblings are not involved in having to worry about their possible ownership if something happens to dad.
Mm-hmm.
So father and daughter sit down and say, okay, the business is worth $100,000. They prepare proper agreements, and the business is sold to the daughter for $100,000. The agreement says the daughter will pay to the father that $100,000 in whatever terms they agreed upon. How much down payment, what the monthly payment would be, how many years, what interest rate, or the daughter comes up with and pays the $100,000 up front. She then owns the business, lock, stock, and barrel. Nobody in the family has any, in the family, other siblings, other grandchildren, nobody else has an interest in that business. That's the easy way to do it.
Yeah.
There's no issues. That's a simple way. But if there's two or three in a business, daughter and her brother, then it becomes a question of who wants it.
All right. Well, it's funny you should bring it, because that's the next question I was going to ask you. They're assuming there's one or more children interested in owning the family and running the family business. How do you suggest they work that out?
Well, you know, families. Families can be very, very difficult with each other, or they can be very, very close and to each other. If the father wants to retire, and the daughter and the son say, fine, Dad, you've worked all your life. Thank you for making this business grow. We've worked on it to make it grow. And yes, Dad, we want to take over the business. So the father, now the daughter and the son sit down the same way. The business is worth $100,000. And the daughter and the son say, okay, Dad, we want to buy the business, and we now want to each own 50% of the business. They then are in a situation where they should do their agreement, just like almost like that buy-sell agreement I talked about with
mm-hmm.
non-family members.
Right.
They should understand the agreement between themselves. Now, they may be young enough and enthusiastic enough, and in families, it's always easy to get agreements between parties when they're friendly, when they're working together. It gets much harder when it becomes adversarial.
Right.
But it's the same thing. It makes no difference to the father. He says, fine, I'm willing to turn over the business to my daughter and to my son. I just want a fair income. And generally, when it's the family, the number may be less than a fair market value. That's done all the time. But I then need you to pay me $1,000 a month or whatever the number comes out. Say the business is worth $1 million or $10 million. The numbers can be different. And they work it out so that the father can retire with substantial income through his retirement years. And so that he, the father and their mother, if she's alive, can live on what they made over the years grow for themselves and for their kids.
Well, Fred, thank you for all that expertise in what should go into succession planning. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. If there's any other further questions, I'm always available.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Listeners, remember, your small business is your key to prosperity and a way of passing on your legacy. But none of that will happen if you don't plan for it. You need a succession plan. A business succession plan is a document that's intended to guide through a change in ownership by providing step-by-step instructions. If a purchase is involved, the sale price and the purchase terms are clearly outlined, as Fred was talking about. This relieves stress on the departing owner families and the members. It's a well-crafted plan. It aims to benefit everybody, the departing owner, the business, the employees, the successors. A small business succession plan should include certain things such as a timeline detailing the circumstances when the succession will take place, even if specific dates if they're applicable. Who the potential successor is. Maybe there's a list of them, a list of children. Then you figure out how to work it out. A formalized operating procedure, which is the documents, employee handbooks and training documents may have had for the business. Important, the business's valuation. It should be a method by which it is valued and updated on a frequent basis, as Fred mentioned, and how your succession will be funded. And it includes details as to whether it's funded through life insurance or seller's note or any other options that you have. Succession plans are commonly associated with retirement. However, they serve an important function earlier in the business lifespan. If anything unexpected happens to you or a co-owner, a succession plan can help reduce headaches, drama, and monetary loss. Fred mentioned that in that what we call more likely a buy-sell agreement. As the complexity of the business and the number of people impacted by the exit grows, so does the need for a well-written succession plan. You should consider creating a succession plan if you have a complex process, how your employees and your successors will know how to operate the business once you exit, how will you duplicate your subject matter expertise, employees should get to know themselves, who will step in to lead, who will step in to administer, who's going to run the payroll, who's going to do the leadership. What about clients? How do you handle clients, ongoing clients? Do you have a successor in mind? How do you arrive at this decision? And are they aware and they are willing to take over ownership? Many business owners ignore succession planning because they don't believe it's necessary or put it off until they're ready to retire. For small, simple businesses, a succession plan may not be necessary. However, consider what would happen to your business if you were no longer able to run the day-to-day operations. Who would take over? Would the business be viable? If you'd like more information about today's show, or for that matter, any previous Score Business Points show, you may email us at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about any Score Business Points show, you may email us at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org.
Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert like my guest and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register.
That's all the time we have for today. I would like to thank my guest, Frederick J. Schrager, for taking the time to be with us today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.